Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
All right, so we can bounce back to last week here pretty briefly here. It was a pretty good effort for you guys against a good Rockbridge team. We kind of talked about it after the game. Just one or two things didn't go your guys' way. So just watching that game back on film, what'd you notice?
Well, I agree that there were just a couple things that we did have control over, but weren't able to make it happen in some key situations. But we fought until the very end. Before the game, if you would have told me we had a chance to win it on the last play of the game, I would have taken that. Couldn't be more proud of the fight of the kids, and hopefully it's a harbinger of things to come.
So yeah, the defense was really promising last week from what they showed you guys. They allowed 21 points, less than 200 yards of offense, 9 first downs. Just what impressed you most watching that game back on film from your defense?
I think the way we tackled, our communication was good, and I think that aside from tackling, defense, you know, begins and ends with being physical.
So, yeah, moving into this week here, you guys have dropped the last two. So just regardless of who the opponent is on Friday, how important is it to stop that skid there?
We don't really look at it that way. Every week is its own lifespan. So we want to be as good as we possibly can be this week. And, you know, we try to view everybody as a nameless, faceless opponent. And we want to focus on us and being the best versions of ourselves.
So, yeah, we've kind of talked about it in the past, but Smith Cotton is obviously in year two under a new coach. So just how have you seen him kind of building a culture there?
Oh, man, I think that they're doing a heck of a job up there. Had a lot of yards last week. So and you can tell whenever you watch their kids and their staff together, when they interact with one another, there's a lot of spirit up there.
So, yeah, moving into their offense a little bit, it's been kind of hit or miss for them. That you mentioned they did put together a pretty good performance last week. So just kind of what do you notice that they like to do?
They'll run it and throw it. They like to create a little chaos defensively.
And then, yeah, just what's going to have to go right? What are you looking for most from your team this week?
I think we have to execute, and we have to make sure to not turn the ball over. Penalties, I think we've made a lot of progress in that area. We need to keep progressing. I believe we've yet to have a clean game turnover wise, so we need to make sure that we hang on to the football.
All righty, thanks, coach.
All right, that was Jays head coach Damon Wells. And Trevor, I guess the short story is you want to put yourself in a position to win a game. You want to put yourself in a position to win games against good teams. Jays did just that. Came up just a little bit short last week, losing 35-27.
Yeah, you really don't like to use the words moral victory. I don't believe in moral victories, really. I don't think they do much either. But with that being said, it kind of felt like one.
Right, right.
That's a really good Rockbridge team that's obviously coming off a conference title last year. Had showcased kind of why they won a conference title so far in the first couple weeks of this year. And then from the way the game started, 4.5 minutes in, not even that, Rockbridge is up 14-0.
Right.
It looked like it was going to get ugly. The game starts, Jeff City goes backwards, 3-and-out. Rockbridge scores in a matter of 5 plays. Jeff City gets the ball back, throws a pick 6. And it's like, okay, I don't really like where this one's going. And then all of a sudden, something switched. And I really do think if this was last year's team, I don't think we're talking about how this game's close at the end of the game. I kind of think that this year's team is kind of showing a mental toughness that I did not see at all from last year's group for the most part. I think I mentioned it to you last week. The biggest come from behind win from last year was 7 points.
Right.
And they didn't win this game, but this was a 2-score deficit on multiple times, and they were able to erase that and be in it at the end, and I think that's a huge positive.
So I guess the question is then, you know, if they have that capability, is it just a matter of they got to start better? I mean, is that or you can't let good teams get you in a hole, you know, or is it just that elusive complete game effort that coaches are always talking about? So you say, you know what, if we had played those first half a quarter better, then all of a sudden it's a completely different game going forward.
Yeah, and there's a few things. Obviously, Jeff City's not built for come-from-behind wins. I think that's the biggest thing that I did not mention. Their offense isn't built to, you know, throw up a bunch of points in a hurry, pass the ball a bunch, things you have to do when you're trailing. But I think the kind of biggest takeaway from that game is there was really four mistakes, is what I would say, that cost them the game. There's two big plays they gave up on defense, a 60-yard passing touchdown, and that 29-yard run Trevin Seaman had on the first drive. The outside of that, Rockbridge's offense basically did nothing all game.
Okay.
And then you could really highlight the defensive touchdown, the pick six I mentioned, and then a kick return touchdown in the second half.
Okay.
So you eliminate those four plays, and that's an extremely different game. And obviously, you can't do that. So it's kind of weird to bring up that hypothetical. But yes, starting fast always is going to help. But there was just a few mistakes in that game that if you eliminate that, that's a pretty resounding Jeff City win, honestly.
And it sounds like, you know, you don't want to say in a game where you give up 35 that the defense was good, but that's a really good team that I think by the end of the year is going to put up 35 against a lot of people, 35 or better. So, you know, you hope that that you take the lessons that you learned in that game and, like, say, you know, one of those was a defensive score, so you really only gave up 28. So,
and then a special team.
Yeah, so a special 21. Team's like 21. So, yeah, so you go, okay, you know what? That is something that, yeah, you can build on. You know, it sounds weird to say after a game like that, but you go, yeah, you can build on that.
Yeah, there's a lot of context to the 35 on the scoreboard that you see. We mentioned that the defense itself really only gave up 21 points, and something I didn't mention last time is they were giving Rockbridge short fields all night. And so I think Rockbridge only had one touchdown drive of their three offensive touchdown drives that did not start on their half of the field.
Okay.
So that's kind of an issue that we talked about. And one of them was an onside kick that I thought was kind of odd, the timing of that. And it gave them the ball at midfield. And then the others were just kind of backed up in their own territory and not getting great punts. But just the context of what the defense did, they allowed less than 200 total yards. They allowed 9 first downs in the entire contest. Okay. So it was kind of Rockbridge is either going to go score or they're going to go 3-and-out, essentially.
Okay.
And from what I'd seen in the past, what the defense did last week, it was impressive on all three levels. The defensive line was good. The linebacker room played well. And the secondary definitely came to play. And we kind of mentioned that was going to be the X factor.
Right.
And I was confident in them. And they, I mean, Josh Wilson and Kendrick Johnson came out there and they really showed out defending those tall wide receivers that Rockbridge has.
And while their, you know, starting QB did get hurt, and we kind of thought that we were going to see both of them anyway, you know, to only give up 21 points against two quarterbacks that we talked about a lot last week and said these guys are really good and better than your average quarterbacks you're going to see, that's, again, something that you can probably hang your hat on and go, you know what, we saw as good as we might see this year from that position, and we acquitted ourselves well.
Yeah, and I think the next time they'll be tested, like, this offensive system will be Helias. And so this is kind of a good feeler that you can build off of because they don't necessarily run the same exact offense, but they run similar offenses. You're going to see the same type of stuff, and you're going to see a talented quarterback with Helias. Yes, obviously, Sam Kaiser did get hurt in the first half last week. I think that happened on one of the sacks. Don't know 100% sure. He just did not have shoulder pads in the second half. But, I mean, Brady Davidson played pretty well for the most part. So, yeah, I mean, looking at it, especially in Class 4 when it comes time for the most important games of the season, you have to expect you're not going to see an offense as good as that. So,
right.
Putting together, you can't say it's the best performance because of what they did against Osage, but rebounding from what happened against Hannibal to doing what they did last week was astounding. This is where we can go into the halftime deficit, because this is what I thought was really interesting. They were down 21-7, not getting the ball against Hannibal. They let Hannibal go down and score a touchdown to start the second half. That game was never close again.
Okay.
Rockbridge is up 21-7 going into halftime, getting the ball off half. They even drive down, I think it was to about the Jefferson City 18, somewhere around edge of the red zone. And for whatever reason, Rockbridge decided to go for a 4th-and-3, thinking that they can kind of just run it up, maybe what they saw Hannibal do. Jeff City gets a stop. They go down and score. Momentum just starts building on that sideline. And I was down on the sideline for the second half, and you could kind of feel it. Like, it almost felt like the team started to believe that they could win that game. And they just kind of needed to see the signs that it was possible. So, just, I mentioned the mental toughness earlier. It would be real easy at halftime to see what happened the week prior, and playing an even better team to just, all right, this isn't going to go our way. But that's exactly the opposite of what they did, and I was definitely impressed with that.
So the end result is, you know, it does drop you to 1-2 in the season, 0-1 in the conference. But I think it's going to be a night and day thing from talking about last week's game and then talking about this tonight's game, because take nothing away from Sedalia Smith-Cotton, but it's a step down in terms of the level of competition. I mean, the Tigers come in at 0-3 and 0-1 in the CMAC, and while last week was, you know, maybe one of their better games in terms of offensive production, they did lose 47-22 to Warrensburg, and that's on the heels of 66-0 loss and a 28-7 loss. So it's not like, you know, points have been plentiful and the defense has given up plenty this year. So I got a funny feeling that this is one of those get right games for Jeff City where you go, you know what, whatever ails us is going to get better by the time we come off the field tonight.
That's definitely what I went into the pregame interview about. Didn't necessarily get him to agree with me on record, but I think everybody's kind of in agreement that you need to come out tonight and put together a really good performance and start building momentum in the win column, not just these moral victories, and especially with Capital City looming next week. It's time to come out and kind of show some dominance like they showed in week one and just kind of make it a business-like performance and just get the job done, get out of there healthy. And yeah, just get out of there healthy. That's the big number one.
So I guess then that bears the question then, do you think it is going to be one of those games where you go, what we do normally is going to be good enough and we'll just kind of do what we do and we don't still think we'll have any problems? Or is this one of those games where you go, okay, like you mentioned last week, the passing game did start to kind of get going for the Jays, and that's something that we've talked about, where if you're going to be, you know, multifaceted and be better and be tough to prepare for, you're going to have to be able to do that at a certain extent. So is this one of those games where you maybe try to lean on that a little bit more and go, you know what, let's not abandon it because we started getting it going last week. Let's keep it going this week and maybe even do it a little more than we might do it.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea at all. I don't know for sure that's what they will do. Just kind of, I don't know if it was a week one thing, because I kind of thought that's what they'd do against Osage, especially once the lead built. But they only attempted, I forget, but there was very few pass plays attempted in that game.
Right.
So I kind of thought that's what they would do there. And this is definitely an opportunity. So maybe, like you mentioned, the momentum that was built in the second half last week. Like, Jacob Wilson went into the locker room 0 for 6 passing with a pick 6 and then came out in the second half. And obviously the incompletion numbers are going to be a little inflated with how the last drive went, kind of heaves it there at the end. But I thought Jacob Wilson looked a lot better at quarterback last week. He was in the second half. He was making much better decisions, was able to hit the open guy on multiple occasions, and even kind of some complex route trees, hitting an in cut over the middle where there's linebackers and the windows are a little tighter. So I think it would be a good idea for them to kind of use this as not necessarily an experimental game, but just kind of seeing what you can do and what you can't do when you're kind of able to do that in a game and the outcome maybe not in question.
Right. Then I guess with that Jays defense, you know, you're talking about a team like, say, that, or a side of the ball that gave up 21 last week and a pretty good 21, 42 the week before that. I think this is more along the lines of you want to give up that 3 that you gave up in week 1 to Osage, and I don't think it would be a shock if we did see a smaller, maybe single-digit number that by the time they get done tonight.
That's definitely what they're going to hope for, because it's not necessarily the same type of offense that they'll see next week with Capital City. Smith Cotton's not necessarily running the exact run-heavy system that they've shown in the past. Their numbers are more 50-50 this year, which is kind of odd. And, I mean, my big question about that was, is that a product of them being behind by as much as right. They have been through the first 3 weeks? Or is that a product of what they want to do? And Wells thinks that's kind of what they want to do. They're kind of trying to develop that identity. They like their quarterback, Bo Gray. Mylon Hawkins is really the focal point of that offense, and he's the running back. He led them with 10 catches last week for over 100 yards and is really a threat running the ball. But I think stopping a guy like Mylon Hawkins can build the momentum that you need, because he's not necessarily Jalen Thomas that you'll see the week afterwards.
Right.
But stopping or containing Jalen Thomas the week after, if you let Mylon Hawkins run crazy, is not going to be easy for the brain to process.
Right.
So I think putting together a really good performance this week will kind of have that group believing in itself pretty well heading into an important matchup next week.
Seems like it's flown by, but we're already a third of the way through the regular season. So I guess the big question to ask is, how's the health of the team at this point when we're at kind of one of those major checkpoints?
They're doing all right. Brody Smith's still going to be out this week. They're missing Brody's center, a linebacker. I'm not 100% sure. I know he had a shoulder injury, so I wouldn't expect him back tonight, but don't know much on that front. Jaden LaViolette went down in the second half last week after a long carry with kind of an ankle situation. Don't know the severity of his ankle, but it seems like he's probably going to give it a go tonight. Not 100% sure, haven't got that commitment either. But other than that, I think they're doing pretty good on health.
All right, I guess we get to the prediction point, and I know who you're going to pick as the victor tonight. How big is the spread?
I did do picks in the paper this week. Now I just have to remember what I picked.
I was going to say, did you happen to remember what your fingers typed out, or did they operate on their own?
I think I picked 48-6, so that's what I will go with, 48-6 Jefferson City.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.